The Best Podcast in Baseball is brought to you by Closets by Design. Update your closet, garage, office, pantry, and more. Imagine your home totally organized with Closets by Design. Call 1-800-BY-DESIGN. That's 1-800-BY-DESIGN.
Where has the development of hitters stalled? Where is the blossoming of hitters with the Cardinals, not blossoming of former Cardinals with other teams? It's hard to ignore the amplification other teams have done with Cardinal hitters when the ones that stay haven't amplified. It's not that they're not performing. It's just they're not amplifying, right? They're not scaling their game up, but other teams are scaling up their pitchers, scaling up their hitters to more production, to better use. The Cardinals are not scaling up. Hello, everybody, and welcome to the Best Podcast in Baseball, brought to you by Closet by Design at St. Louis. I'm St. Louis Post-Dispatch baseball writer Derek Gould, joined this week, and it really is a fitting time to be joined this week because his column in the Morning Post-Dispatch, right there, rolled up on your porch, offers a great format for this conversation today. And, of course, that is St. Louis Post-Dispatch, stltoday.com, superstar Ben Fredrickson. Ben, thank you very much for joining me. Nice haberdashery there.
Thank you, sir. Yeah, the listeners can't see it, but I'm rocking one of our pinch hits hats.
Yes.
We were given when the pinch hits website dropped, and I thought it would be a fitting choice for this podcast.
Because they need to find some?
Even though people can't see it, but just you can see it.
Yes.
You can see it. Yeah, because the Cardinals are in a pinch for hits. And also I wanted to give you a chuckle when we logged on here. But I appreciate you bringing me on, man. It's good to be back. I haven't been on in a while. I feel like I always have to come on when the Cardinals are playing terribly. But then again, the Cardinals haven't been playing great for quite a while, dating back to even last season. So I thought it was maybe about me, but I'm starting to think it maybe is more about the team.
Yeah. Well, it has been they haven't been at 500 since three games into above 500 since three games into last season. They get to the brink this season and now have fallen well off the pace. They won't be able to leave this homestand as a winning team or even a 500 team. This is a key month for them in a lot of ways, I think, just because of the way the schedule sets up and because of how they got through May. They do have another West Coast trip, but they also have that showdown in Milwaukee coming up, which they're basically in a spot where they got to win a lot. They got to go Minnesota Twins on this thing to kind of climb back into being the team that they insist they'll be. A whole bunch of wins in a row would do it, because it doesn't seem like this offense has kind of that, but it doesn't seem like this offense has that kind of ability to sustain the necessary amount of runs to pull off a winning streak. It's really, I don't think there's any other way to put it, but unexpected. Last year, the weakness that caused the Cardinals to tumble out of contention into the last place was expected. I mean, we spent a lot of time in spring, everybody did, talking about if everything goes right for the pitching, they could have been really good. But was there any guarantee of that pitching coming together? And there really wasn't. They had pitching depth, but they had no pitching answers. And the lack of pitching answers and then lack of pitching performance really caught up with them. So you couldn't say it was like unexpected. I think you could this time. I mean, the offense has scored in 2/3 of their games, Ben. They've scored 3 or fewer runs. I don't think you saw that coming with this group.
No, you laid it out well that this is the month to make the move if one is going to come. And you look at the schedule and it begs for that. But offense has to happen consistently for that to be something that's realistic. Look, the Cardinals lost a series to the White Sox at home because it's a dogfight for 3 runs every night. And that's how you lose series to bad teams. So it's really surreal that we're seeing kind of a 180 degree different version of the team that we saw last season, and they're both entirely underwhelming. They keep saying we're not last year's team, and I agree with them. They're not. But if you take a different road to get to the same lousy outcome, does it really make that much of a difference? I don't know. They're not the same team they were last year, and it's
the same results.
You don't get degree of difficulty points for creating the same results with a different with a team that's poor because of other reasons, almost opposite reasons than you had a year ago. Like you said, we saw last year coming. I didn't see this coming. I didn't think this lineup was going to be Dodgers-esque or Braves-esque, but I thought it could and should be the best, lineup in the division. I didn't think that was asking too much for what this lineup could be. I think what we're seeing right now, though, is in some ways symbolic of what we kind of feared that this roster could be at its worst, not in terms of the offense not producing damage, because that's a little surprising, but just what we see if you zoom out are some proven guys who aren't able, or at least so far, being able to upkeep their production with their career norms, with the exception of one player in Wilson Contreras, and some younger guys who don't quite look ready to step into lead roles. And that gulf that's in the middle of this roster, I think, is really kind of becoming exposed right now as the pressure builds. You've got older proven guys who are struggling, and you've got younger unproven guys who have promise, but they're lacking production. And that the stress on the roster is right there in the middle, which doesn't have a lot of hard answers. They've got a lot of hope, and they got a lot of guys who they're hoping can be as good as they once were. So that I think we talked about a lot entering the season. But I didn't expect the power to be off like this. That's surprising here. The lack of any meaningful, promising evidence that this team's going to start driving the ball hard. They got to hit home runs. They got to hit doubles. They got to slug. You've got to do these things, and you've got the bats that should be able to do that. And with the exception of the catcher slash designated hitter, they're just not doing it. And I do think it's reached a point now where it's almost become, it's got a little bit of that contagiousness to it. And,
The reversal, yeah.
I mean, there is something to that. Like when a lineup gets going, it's hot, pass the bat, right? Rush to the bat rack, all those cliches. There's something to that. This is a human game still. And when everybody's up there trying to win the game or feeling like their lack of production is killing the team, there is something that can spread. I do think some of that's going on right now. And we asked Ollie about that the other day, and he said it's tough to go, line up as a whole, but the one thing that he sees, and the numbers back this up, are just guys not just doing what should come naturally to them, is swinging at pitches they should crush. And this team's watching a lot of pitches that are hittable pitches, and that's a sign that they're thinking too much and not playing baseball enough.
Yeah, in their first game against the Mets, Shamania, lefty for the Mets. I think it was 13 of the at bats were over in 4 pitches or less, 6 were over in 3 pitches or less. After the game, Oliver Marmol mentioned that they weren't in advantage counts taking it. They weren't taking the right swing. They weren't taking advantage swings. He called some of the at bats uncompetitive, which is a word that he doesn't use lightly, and very pointed. In those at bats, they got a double, but overall, they were just they only had a couple hits in those 13 at bats total, where they just were. You can look at whether they were on the right side of the pitch count, like 0-0, 2-0, 3-1, those kind of counts, and they just didn't do damage. They did, however. It is important to point out a watermark moment for the Cardinals. We'll see if it lasts. They did, however, because of a couple doubles, and specifically the double that was part of their 3-run max effort output in the sixth inning. That double put the Cardinals ahead in with their slugging percentage. They now have a slugging percentage higher than the Milwaukee Brewers on base percentage. So that's something to note. Their slugging percentage is still lower than the Dodgers on base percentage, which is just stunning.
And the Dodgers have more than doubled their home run total.
That's right. And the Cardinals are the only team in baseball that are one home run for every 50 at bats. 24 of the teams are one home run every 38 or fewer at bats, just to put that in perspective. I mean, that's
Yeah,
innings.
I pointed out on that column that you mentioned this morning, because I do hear like they're trying to hit to home runs. They got to start playing the small ball. I'm like, no, they don't need to play the small ball. They
No, they
need
need
to
to hit
hit home
home runs.
runs.
They need to hit home runs. No,
They
they need to do damage.
desperately need to hit home runs. And the fact, and this is true, I think they're more capable of scoring in other ways this season than they have been in some past seasons. But you still have to hit home runs to be an effective offense in modern Major League Baseball. Look at the teams that they're with in the home run, in the power percentage, even in some of the more advanced stuff, Derek, the barrel rate, the hard contact, there's not one thing that they can point to and say, well, this is encouraging right now. Other than, and I do agree with them on this, other than this shouldn't be who we are, talking about their hitters. I agree with that, but you know, as you get deeper into May, who you should be and who you are start to become, you know, one takes precedent over the other. That's how this game works. At some point, what should happen takes a backseat to what's happening.
Yeah, it's, Nolan Arenado had the comment where you can no longer say it's early. You can't. I mean, you can't. And we've talked about on this podcast the notion that, like, all right, how much of April do you go, okay, well, it's April and these, it's a cold start and trends, well, they can pick up, but you can't ignore spring training, nor can you ignore September. And if things start going in, now some of these things are into their third month, you just can't say, oh, well, you can't carve it up that way. You can't selectively choose when you begin to map a trend, and say, well, it doesn't carry over. If you see the same thing over and over again, it should alert you that something is happening. Can you introduce listeners to the meatball percentage? That was kind of the beginning of your story. No, you weren't Ian Frobing the sports section, but can you introduce folks to what the meatball percentage is and what the heck it has to do with
Yeah.
Cardinals offense?
Well, we do have to clarify. So at the Post-Dispatch and the internal STL Today metrics, the meatball percentage is the amount of meatballs Ian Frobe eats while riding the STL 100.
Oh, okay.
But
All right.
that's not the baseball stat. The baseball stat is I like this stat because it's like sometimes, and I get this, I hear from people, and shout out to our sports editor Roger Hensley, if he ever hears a new baseball stat that he hasn't heard of, that's not on the back of his baseball cards when he's a kid, he gets like angry about all this new, and he's talking about like OPS. Like he so I do feel for Raj when he's telling us like I don't want to hear about ex woba, and I kind of agree. Like if you're not way in the weeds on this stuff, then some of the names of the baseball stats and even the explanations of what they should be are a little tricky to grasp and use conversationally. I'm with him on that. That's why I like the meatball percentage, because it is exactly what it says it is. It's the number that is the eye test of like how many pitches are you getting that are just fat and ripe and should be pitches you should love to swing at, let alone, make contact, hard, good contact at. And it struck me in looking up the data,
No
you can
pun
find all the
intended.
it's a StatCast data point. They got a million numbers on there, but they use the tracking, the strike zone to identify pitches that are meatballs. And then they sort teams by the number of meatballs they get, the percentage. And you're not going to get 25% meatballs unless you're pitching, facing the Cardinals rotation last year. But this, if you're getting 10, around 10 meatball percentage, then pitchers are throwing you a lot of strikes that you should be hitting. And the Cardinals are, top five in number of fat, ripe pitches seen, which you think, okay, well, they're not hitting, they're getting attacked. That's what that tells us, right? And that's not surprising for anyone watching the games. Guys are coming after these guys. They're not walk. The Cardinals are middle of the pack in walks, but they're not, pitchers are coming after them. They're attacking them in the strike zone. They're trying to make them hit. So that was telling. And then you look at the amount of the percentage of meatball pitches that are swung at by teams, which is right next to that stat. And you sort it that way. The Cardinals are one of the teams that swing at the fewest percentage of those pitches, which that to me is like, that if Ollie would have had one stat on his desk when he was talking about, we just got to swing at better pitches because we're seeing them, we're not swinging at them. Easy to say, harder to do, I suppose. But if you're seeing one of the highest percentages of fat right pitches in baseball and you're swinging at one of the fewest percentages of those pitches, that's a problem. Because your whole point of the at bat is to work to get a pitch you can hit, to work to get a pitch you can drive, to work to get a pitch you can do damage on. The Cardinals are getting a higher amount of those pitches than any other team in their division, and they're swinging at the lowest amount of them. That doesn't seem like a good place to be for a team that keeps saying it needs to find power production that it should have more than it's showing.
That
That to
sound.
me, that was, I mean, that and that to me, that meshes with what we watch. We see guys taking pitches that go, that why didn't he swing? And I'm careful about it because it is like the one thing I compare it to, like the hockey fans when they yell at the guy to shoot the puck when he's like, in center ice, and it's like, well, you can't really shoot it from there. But sometimes they're right. Sometimes guys should shoot the puck more often. And this, I think this team should swing more often.
Imagine your home totally organized. Closets by Design is offering 40% off plus an additional 15% and free installation. Schedule your free consultation today. Call 1-800-BY-DESIGN for details. That's 1-800-BY-DESIGN.
There's a part of that number that meshes with the description that the Cardinals keep giving, this notion of what is a hitter caught in between. And, that's a description that, I remember Tony La Russa talking about hitters being caught in between. And what that means in shorthand is, ahead of the off speed, behind on the fastball, just kind of caught in between. The timing is off. A hitter can't quite get their biometric metronome going. Part of that is pitch recognition, an awareness of the pitch. It's part of why Jordan Walker is down at class AAA, right? He's in Memphis. Is pitch recognition. What pitch can you do damage with? What pitch should you just ignore, right? And once you can then recognize that pitch, what can you do with it? And it seems like somewhere in the ether between those things is where the Cardinals are trapped. Are they recognizing the pitch? Can they do something with it? And they are quite literally caught in between. You and your column set up basically a true false kind of thing, a statement and whether about the offense and whether or not it's true. You touched on the one that you discussed right away, the Cardinals. So here we go. Ready? Well, I'll present them and you tell me if it's true or false. Here's the premise. The Cardinals just need to swing more. True or false?
To some degree, true. Yes. True exclamation point, I think is what I put. Now at strikes that I think
right.
That's a given, but that's what that number
Yeah, no, they
shows.
Don't want to go
that's
up there and
what
be
they've
windmills.
diagnosed.
They're not, it's not a driving range.
And in some ways, I think it's a weird thing. Hitting is hard, to quote what we've been told many times. It's a
Hitting
weird
is
thing
hard.
where when
I
you
have
when
a
you
recording
start
where someone tells me that for like 2 minutes and 40 seconds, I think. What
when
color
you
is the sky? Hitting is hard at this level, Derek.
Yeah. When you swing, when you don't
Yeah,
swing
but
at a
how's the
pitch.
travel? Do you find the travel
Oh,
appealing?
here we go. I've opened up the can of worms.
Hitting is hard, Derek. Yeah. Well, how do you find the uniforms? I mean, do you find them like, aesthetically pleasing? Do you find the pinstripes? Do they carry a little bit of robust? The birds on the bat, is
I
there a
don't
little
find
history?
anything pleasing about the uniforms this year.
Right. Hitting is hard, Derek. Cool. Hitting at this level is hard.
It is. And I think it gets harder when you.
Ben, did you know hitting at this level is hard?
It gets harder when you don't swing at pitches you know you should have hit. And then you start doing that thing where you're like, well, now I'm going to have to swing at the next. I mean, these guys are, it's Tonyism, but men, not machines. Like, even great hitters can become all of us when we were in the box, at whatever level you played at, going, oh man, I should have swung at that pitch. And now I'm going to really have to swing at the next. Like, everybody does that. It's a human thing to go, I missed my shot. Now I've got to be on high alert for, and then you start swinging at one that's not your pitch. So yeah, I think they should swing more.
They've seen a lot of pitches
should,
in the zone, right?
They should. They're if into as if they're getting punished and attacked with pitches in the zone. The only thing that's going to make that push back against the pitchers who are attacking them is to start doing damage against those pitches in the zone. And swinging at strikes is going to be how you hit home runs. It's going to be how you put crooked numbers. So I think it can be as simple as that. And I would say this, I know there's a lot of talk and it's fair. There's not a single identity right now of this offense that can't be dissected and found problems. But I think this discussion that this one right here is bigger than anything else going on with their offense. I don't think it's, I think the situational stuff, I think the small balls, I think all that stuff is down ballot from this issue of not swinging at pitches they should be hitting.
Yeah.
And you can apply that with men on base. You can apply it with no men on base. I think this is their biggest problem. And I think it's a problem at this point of, I don't know if you call it pressing or overthinking, but they are they're overanalyzing things to the point where they're not just seeing ball, hitting ball when it's in the strike zone, and they can get the barrel on it, and they have to do something. And I don't know how they got to do something to get back to that point of go up there with a clear mind. If you see a strike, swing, and it's if by God, if you see a strike in 3-0 count, swing. You know, give everybody the green light to swing at a pitch that they feel like they can do damage on,
Just to cold
because that
start the offense.
they've got to break out of this kind of freeze frame that they're stuck in.
That's a good way to put it. You know, you mentioned the doing damage on strikes that you see. Brendan Donovan, you know, the Cardinals often leadoff hitter. You know, one of the things about the offensive struggles is his on-base percentage has really gone down. I mean, he's a guy who should be leading the team, if not second to Lars Nootbaar in on-base percentage, really. Right up there with, you know, I mean, he should have an elite on base percentage. That hasn't happened. One of the reasons why is because he's being challenged. And, you know, teams are okay with singles. I don't know how other way to put it. You know, teams are okay giving up singles. Teams will avoid damage. They'll go an attack hitter in a zone where the batting average is high and the slugging percentage is not. That's just how teams approach the heat maps. That's how teams approach scouting. That's really always been it. Now they just put numbers on it, and you know, they will avoid the slug and go after the batting average. It's just true. And if you don't prove that you can do damage on pitches, then they'll continue to go there and continue to challenge you. If they feel like they're going to give up a single every so often, they'll play the odds that they'll get you out 6 out of 10 times and be okay that the other four or even three, the other three will be just a single. And it'll take a whole string of singles to score a run. They're fine with that. And so Brendan Donovan is trapped in that spot where teams are challenging him. He's got to do some damage on pitches to get them away from that approach. And then that walk rate will go up. And then that on base percentage will be a little bit more familiar. You know, it's not that he, it's just changing how pitchers approach you with the damage that you do, sending a message. And whether or not, you know, teams are now going, all right, well, the Cardinals are vulnerable, or they're, you know, or teams are preparing, as Kyle Gibson said, for the Cardinals at their best, and then going, well, this team is struggling right now and it's even better. You know, that's harder to say, but it certainly did seem like the Cardinals were accommodating to Sean Manaea's approach. You know, so Sean Manaea could have prepared for the Cardinals at their best, but still gone in there and said, you know what, this is a team I can challenge, because if I give up singles, fine. You know, they're not going to string a whole bunch together. He struck out one guy, and he was through, what, 5 innings in almost an hour, it seemed like. I mean, he just was breezing through innings. It was crazy. But what he wasn't doing was breezing through hitters. Again, that one strikeout, which brings it to the next statement in your column that you brought up. So true, false, the Cardinals strike out too much.
False. I mean, that's just it's justifiable by the by where they rank in baseball. They're squarely in the middle of the pack in strikeouts. They are not. They're not. Their problem right now is not their patience. It's not their plate discipline. It's in some ways it may be their problems may be related to some of that. I'm struck by the two of the best performing hitters on the team this season. Are a guy who I've never once heard talk about grinding out an at bat, Wilson Contreras. Wilson Contreras goes to
Great
the at bat
point.
to hit the damn ball as hard as he can. And if he swings out of his shoes, okay, he'll go up there the next time and try to hit the damn ball as hard as he can. I've never once heard Wilson talk about working a count or you know, trying to grind an at bat. And the other guy who is hitting better than people expected, he's been down a little more recently, but he's still off to a much better offensive season than I think most expected, is Mason Wynn. And what was Mason's message entering the season? It wasn't to grind at bats. It was to simply go up there, play great defense, and not let his offense get in the way of his defense, and just go with what they gave him, find a way to get on base and use his speed. And that kind of just they took as much pressure off him as he could, and he'll tell you his goal is to get on base and use his speed. And it's almost like that identity for him has led now to where he's hitting some. doubles. He's able to he's going the other way, and he's got this kind of he's got this approach that seems to really be working for him. But I've said this before, this is not new. Like, some guys are grinder type at bats. I mean, Matt Carpenter defined it. I mean, his greatest strength as a hitter is to make pitchers work and just kind of cause stress to them, because he's got an eye that's oftentimes better than the umpires. Sometimes we see that, and sometimes it doesn't work out for him. But having an entire lineup, I don't know that this lineup is built to function like that. And I do think part of what we're seeing is maybe that showing. I think sometimes this lineup needs, I think more guys in this lineup just need to go up there and try to hit. And that's what this lineup should be. These guys have guys who should hit in it. And they got a couple guys who should be grinders and really work the counts, but they also have guys who need to go up there, and if they see a pitch they like, whether it's the first pitch or in a hitter's count, pitcher's count, they should let it rip. And I think they would have better results if they trended back toward that a little bit. So no, they're not walking, they're not striking out too much, and they're not and their walks, the walks I think are, it's not a matter of they're not walking enough. They will
Well,
get
you're
more
skipping ahead,
walks if they
man.
change some of this.
Well, that's the thing, is they got to scare the pitcher out of the zone. That's
And
the
why would you
phrase.
walk a cardinal right now?
Right. Well, let's talk about that premise in your column, because I think we could have a little bit of debate about this. The phrase that you said is the Cardinals don't walk enough. True or false?
The Cardinals don't walk enough. I said false.
You said false. And I'll read what you wrote. The Cardinals entered Monday's game ranked 11th in baseball in walk rate, 9.1%. They walk, for example, at a higher clip than the following productive offenses. All true. The Padres 8.4, the Braves 8.2, Orioles 6.9. All very true. Patience at the plate is not this lineup's problem, at least not collectively. All right. Well, one thing about the walks, though, is look at who's getting them. So Wilson Contreras leads the team in walks. Paul Goldschmidt is second. Paul Goldschmidt has 16 walks and 26 hits and 5 extra base hits. He wakes up here on May 7th with a 2 leading every one of his slash line categories, which is just. That's just such so uncharacteristic. The top, let's see, there are, I mean, Mason Wynn has 11, Gorman has 11, Brendan Donovan has 11, Nolan Arenado has 12. Missing from that list is Lars Nootbaar, who missed a lot of games, right? He's played 10 fewer games than everybody, but he's on their heels with 10. So if you were at the end of the season to expect who leads the team in walks, you probably would say someone from the group of Nootbaar, Donovan, Goldschmidt, right? And they're all in there. But what I find interesting is that Nolan Arenado's in there. He's 1 month into the season, 1.5 month into the season, right? He's already got a fourth of the walks as he had last season. When you look at Nolan Gorman, he's a guy who walks a lot. He has 11 walks. Mason Wynn, walks should be part of his game. And I think maybe we're seeing Mason Wynn do enough damage on some pitches that pitchers do go out of the zone. But I also think, Ben, we're seeing a walk rate inflated by teams going, you know what? I'm not going to let this guy beat me because I know the guy after him isn't feeling all that great or isn't producing all that great or is only going to put together a single. So I think the Cardinals' walk rate is inflated by strategy. I think teams are going, well, I will walk Wilson Contreras because who's coming after him? When Wilson Contreras is the guy who's batting fifth a lot for the Cardinals, and I know he's batting second here overall, but when he's batting fifth for, two-thirds of the season so far, and he leads the team in walks, that to me is like, oh, yep, you know what? They're avoiding him. And kudos to him for taking him, right? But it's also
Yeah,
a walk rate that
it's what
is
they
in.
want.
It's
It's what
also
the
a
other team
walk.
wants.
Right. It's a walk rate that's inflated. And you compare it to the Braves and you go, well, yeah, no wonder the Braves, who are you going to walk on that team? Because if you walk somebody, now you're putting a runner on base for them to drive in
Fair point.
at
Yeah,
that
good point.
ballpark. So I would take the Cardinals' walk rate with a little bit of a grain of salt without asking or without diving into, well, how often are they trying to avoid the guy to then get to the run of singles and say, man, we put this guy on base. The Cardinals aren't going to put up a crooked number. They, you know, they might get a guy in the runner scoring position, but we have more outs. It's like playing poker, right? How many outs do we have after this guy if we, you know, put down a blind here? How many outs or no, that's wrong. If I have these pocket cards and I put this guy on base, how many outs do I have to still get through this inning without giving up a run? And I think they look at the Cardinals lineup and go, I got plenty of outs there, so I'm gonna avoid this guy. If he gets himself out, great, you know. But if Wilson Contreras takes a walk and leads the team with 18 walks, fine. Then the best hitter I've avoided doing damage against me.
I mean, and that's the fact that if you're an opponent and you go into a series and you say, okay, there's always one guy you want to be careful about, right? Ideally, you have more than that. You
Right.
have a lineup full of guys you got to be
Right.
careful about. Wilson right
Exactly.
now is the one guy that can break your game
Yep.
as an
And
opponent.
so you
And
avoid
that's
him.
why you maybe take your shot, and if you get him down, then you pitch carefully, and if you don't like where you're at, you have no problem putting him on.
Yeah.
So yeah, I agree with you there. Look, digging into the, who's actually getting the walks, but I guess, my thought on it was walking. If this group goes up there collectively with the idea of we need to walk more,
Right.
this isn't going to get better
Right.
because they're not
Exactly.
going to get walked right
They need to
now.
earn
You
walks.
have to hit your way back into getting walks.
Right,
When they're
right.
pounding you inside the zone so much, why would they say, "Man, we'll start walking them"? No, you have to earn the walks. You have to build up the fear of what happens as opposed to the walk.
Correct.
And right now, there's only one guy, Wilson, who can even put that thought in their mind,
Yep.
which is
I mean,
crazy to
look.
say. I mean, you're talking about a lineup that's got two former MVP, a former MVP, a recent one in it, and a third place finisher, a finalist, right next to him. I mean,
Yeah. And two
that's
elite on
and
base guys.
Nolan is showing some signs of getting going, but the power is still off for the
Yeah,
most
yeah,
part.
yeah.
Goldschmidt looked like he was starting to get going, and then May happened, and it's like it's cratered again. And then the young guys are not exactly grabbing the baton and running with it here. I mean, it's not something that if I would have told you leaving spring training, the Cardinals were going to have one of the higher performing bullpens in the game right now
Right.
and improved defense. I think we can say that for the most part. Now they're starting to give that away because they're chasing offense again, and they're not playing their defensive best center fielders anymore. And they're not, they don't, they're starting to make defensive sacrifices like we saw last season chasing offense. And it's a risky game because they're not guaranteed to get better offense by some of the moves that they're doing. But I can understand the pressure that they're feeling to try. I don't agree with it in some instances. But I also said, hey, they're smack dab in the middle of baseball and quality starts given
Yeah.
from this rotation. I think we would all expect them to be leading the division, and if not leading it, smack dab in the fight for it.
It's just it.
And it's the offense that has put them in a spot where. And here's the other thing, man, and not to go hijack the conversation, but let's not just put on Pollyanna hats and assume this rotation and bullpen are just going to be great the rest of the year. Like they're going to have turbulence.
Yeah.
They've got a key injury now in Mats. Giovanni Gallegos is out after looking totally used up. They've got some turbulence here, and they're costing themselves what could be some padding if the offense would have been firing along with these other cylinders.
Right. You know, I mean, look, the Mets game, they lose 4-3 because the bullpen, which has been fireproof, I mean, it's been really good, gives up a solo home run to Brandon Nimmo. That's the difference in the game. I mean, if you wanted to write, you know, as someone covering that game, if you wanted to write a bullpen leak cost the Cardinals, you could. It seemed a little dishonest because of. I mean, it just seemed a little dishonest because of where the offense put them. You know, it left them vulnerable to one run out of the bullpen, and you cannot expect a zero defect bullpen for game after game after game after game, especially when it's a solo home run. It's not like it gave up a crooked number. They gave up a solo home run, and then he
Right.
got out of the inning, and they allowed nothing else. I mean, most nights that would be a victory for the bullpen. Hey, well done, you got through. But the offense just never rewarded the bullpen, never gave them a gap, never gave them anything. And time again, the offense is putting a strain on the other elements of the game. Look, More offense and they win that game, and you overlook the error in right field, right? There's been a lot of examples where games have hinged on an error or a leadoff walk by a reliever, and you really trace it back to the fact that nope, it was the offense that left them exposed. It was the offense that didn't give them any insurance. It was the offense that didn't give them any cushion. It was the offense that, is 10 for 55 with runners in scoring position. And, that's a slice of the problem, not a, that's a symptom of the problem. That's not
Yeah.
like the problem.
Imagine your home totally organized. Closets by Design is offering 40% off plus an additional 15% and free installation. Schedule your free consultation today. Call 1-800 by Design for details. That's 1-800 by Design.
Yeah, last year I think you and I tried. I felt like we were like the guys on like the street corners with the signs that are like the end is near. But like trying to like speak the message about the problems of the rotation and how they were causing all of these tentacle related issues. And I feel like this year it's shaping up to be something kind of similar where no one is saying the runners and scoring position stuff isn't a problem, but it's a tentacle problem of an offense that's not providing any power. Like the power, the lack of power, and you have written about this, multiple times. It's the lack of power production slug that is the nucleus of the issue, and you're going to continue to see all these other tentacles of it. One of which is stress that's being put on the pitching staff that has performed pretty well, that may not be able to perform this well as the season goes along. I mean, Steven Matz is hurt, and all of a sudden, Matthew Liberatore, who had been really good out of the bullpen, is now back in flux. They can't use him in a game he would have pitched in. They use Kittredge instead earlier in this homestand, and all of a sudden the game goes sideways. And it's like that role is gone, so you got to go somewhere else because you got to start Matthew Liberatore the next day. And you can see how the pitching stuff is kind of starting to get a little shaky. Hopefully they get healthier soon. The problem with just saying, well, everything else is fine, the offense has time to come around, is that if the offense does flip, and it's an if, at not a win at this point, if it does flip, there's no guarantee that other things might not be in a worse spot when it does. I mean, they're playing from behind here now, and this division is not great, but it's maybe more competitive than we thought it would be. And there are teams in it that are playing better than we thought they would. I didn't think the Brewers would be this good.
I did not think. I think the Brewers may not be this good. The Brewers' time may be coming. They haven't gone west yet. They
Sure.
haven't had the most difficult thing. I think it's very interesting, Ben, that the Cardinals have a handful of relievers who are pitching well enough to take a team to the postseason, and the Cardinals' offense is performing poorly enough that those relievers might be on other teams when they get to the postseason. That's what's happening. I mean, you could
Are we going to
definitely.
go into, are we transitioning into seller talk already?
Well, I just want to bring that up. Like Ryan Helsley, Andrew Kittredge, these guys are pitching really well. And if the Cardinals want to do a quick reset because the offense puts them in a bind where they're sellers again.
We talked earlier about things we saw coming, things we didn't see coming. Obviously, the offensive struggle is something that we weren't predicting. We did talk about where this season could go if this season didn't go right. And the Cardinals pushed back against, hey, the short-term contract signed this offseason, Sonny Gray being the longest commitment, lack of an extension for Paul Goldschmidt, not pursuing any long-term deals beyond Sonny Gray, which is relatively short term. And what it looked like was a team that was trying to make a unique roster work and give it a go at making a roster work that was old on one side and proven, but trying to prove it could still be proven in the danger zone of its career, right? And then young and unproven but promising, and trying to prove that it could, everybody could. The guys on the far side could turn back time or at least hold it still, and the other guys could speed it up, and they would meet in the middle and be this team that was dangerous. You saw the vision, but you knew the degree of difficulty was going to be there. And you also saw what happens if it doesn't happen. And what happens is you start selling on the proven side, and you replenish and you turn toward going young. And that's what this could look like if it doesn't go. Guys on short-term deals, like we saw them do last season, try to maximize those, replenish, but also, face some hard questions about what you do with Paul Goldschmidt entering a walk year. There would be teams, no matter how bad Paul Goldschmidt hits in a Cardinals uniform this year, that would be interested in adding Paul Goldschmidt to their lineup and hoping a change of scenery made something work. And they would be wise for wanting that, I think. Guys too good to not wonder what could he look like if they get to that point. If you move Goldie, you probably should just go ahead and do Arenado too if there's appealing offers, because why would he want to stick around for a youth refresh? And you got to think about what you'd get just investment wise from him there, when he's already said and been vocal about wanting more experience, more age on this team. And then, the guys in the rotation, the Cardinals have been buyers for those types of pitchers before, Derek. We've seen them stabilize Cardinals seasons in the past, so why wouldn't other teams be interested? So there, if it gets to that point where the for sale sign is out, this team is going to have some compelling things to sell, but they're also going to have to face some questions about, really truly leaning into a rebuild or a reset or whatever it is they want to call it, when they've said for years they don't ever envision doing that.
Brendan Nimmo's solo home run that was the difference in Monday's game against the Mets was his fourth home run of the season. Nolan Arenado and Paul Goldschmidt, the two cornerstones that you talk about there, that Cardinals would have a real difficult decision, but maybe have the decision made for them if they continue to struggle. They combined have four home runs, which in your True False column, you present this premise, and I will get your response to it. So, Ben Fredrickson, true or false, the Cardinals need to stop worrying about hitting home runs.
False! Exclamation point, all caps. They need to hit more home runs. They need to worry about how to hit more home runs. They need to keep, what's his name, Jobu, on the top of the dugout there, and wake up the bats and break out the big ones. Now, the wording on that I probably screwed up, because worrying about home runs probably doesn't help. But the conversation absolutely needs to be about damage and doing it, and not about, oh, over prioritizing power or playing the small ball. That's great. The Cardinals are where they are because they're not doing damage. They're not hitting the ball over the wall. They're not hitting the ball into the wall. And until they start doing that, everything else is meaningless.
Through the wall and over the wall. I think it, or what was it? Hit the ball hard and hit the ball far. That's what Oliver Marmol said. Hit the ball hard and hit the ball far. I think, through the wall and over the wall. I thought you phrased it fine. I thought you were going for kind of a Doctor Strangelove illusion.
Ooh, that's a hole in my game there. I apologize.
The how I learned to stop worrying about the bomb. No.
They I worrying
Peter
worrying.
Sellers, nothing.
No,
You got nothing there?
I got nothing there. Big
All right.
whiff on my end.
That's all right. Well,
Sorry.
now I just gave you a movie to watch this weekend.
There you go. Worrying, negative connotation, but yeah, home runs are the problem.
It's
Home runs are
okay.
a huge issue. When the Dodgers
They
are
should worry.
doubling you up and then some in home runs, you should be worried about why your
Look,
guys who can hit 30 home runs in a season are not doing it.
this
Why
is.
is your home run leader from last year getting pinch hit for in a game with the game on the line when
Or
a
not
home
pinch
run would end
hitting.
it? And it wasn't even the bad call, because he's averaging 170 something.
Yeah,
Like,
or not
I would
pinch
have let him
hitting.
hit. I would have let him hit, but I don't know that it would have been the right call.
No,
Um,
he's
you've
available,
got
but
you've
you're
got your
not
home run
used.
leader. It looks lost. Your MVP looks like a shell of himself. Your guy who should be winning the MVP this year has a good average and on base, but you're not paying Nolan Arenado all this money to have a good average and on base. You're paying him to be a sick third baseman and to hit some bombs, and it's all not happening at once. Your Jordan Walker should be in that group. He's in Memphis. I mean, yeah, not hitting home runs is a problem right now for this team, and they're worried about it. And if they say they aren't, then they're full of it.
It is entirely fair, and the Cardinals should worry when what should be a strength is not. When what was a known weakness is, and you worry about that, that seems a little bit off. That seems a little disingenuous. But you worry when what should be a strength isn't, and seek answers internally. Seek answers internally. When something that appears to be a weakness becomes a weakness, seek answers externally. I mean, they did, right? They went out and added pitching,
Right.
right? But and they didn't last year. They didn't go out and add pitching. When something that is a clear weakness is actually a weakness, when a duck is a duck, go get a different bird, you know. But when something that should be a strength isn't, then that's a different, that's a bigger question. You know, why isn't it? Why, where has the development of hitters stalled? Where is the blossoming of hitters with the Cardinals, not blossoming of former Cardinals with other teams? Like, look, just look at the force multipliers that hitters have had here recently. And it's all anecdotal, I get it, but it's hard to ignore the amplification other teams have done with Cardinal hitters when the ones that stay haven't amplified. It's not that they're not performing, it's just they're not amplifying, right? They're not scaling their game up. The Cardinals are not, they run, every team runs like a hedge fund company, but other teams are scaling up their pitchers, scaling up their hitters to more production, to better use. The Cardinals are not scaling up.
And it's jarring when you look at the home run race or MLB leaderboards, and you see this is not exaggeration. Like three recent former Cardinal outfielders in the top seven of home runs hit this year. And this is not me saying they should have never let Marcell Ozuna go. I'm not saying that. But the fact is, he didn't do that here. And now he's doing it. He had one good season here, but he wasn't hitting like he is now
He
with
never
the
had a
Braves.
breakout year.
You've got Adolis Garcia, and I know both teams passed on him. Everybody passed on him twice. I get it. But what he's doing, crushing home runs. You've got Tyler O'Neill, who I was ready for the Cardinals to move on from Tyler O'Neill. I don't think he would be doing what he's doing in Boston here. I think that thing
No.
had, that wound had turned. Had turned septic, but
What a
he's doing it
reference.
in Boston. You look at Richie Palacios. He's a 900 OPS in Tampa. Adam Wainwright's calling the Tampa game the other night. He's talking about Richie Palacios is the engine that's driving Tampa. And you know what was coming? You just knew as soon as Richie Palacios was traded to Tampa, and the Tampa front office came out and said, "Yeah, we think he has more power in his swing than he's shown." And you go, "If you," when I read that, I went, "Oh my God. Oh my God, he's going to be the sensation in Tampa. Move over Randy Arozarena because here comes Richie Palacios." And sure enough, he's doing it.
Yeah, I
I
mean
don't know
that's crazy.
what is it? And that's a real, I mean, it used to be like, okay, it's a reach. It used to be, all right, yeah, Patrick Wisdom hits home runs for the Cubs now, but the Cardinals have Nolan Arenado. Like, move along, everybody. But when it's a steady theme, when the Cardinals are basically joking about Tyler O'Neill going to Boston and winning the American League
And winning
MVP,
an
and then it may
MVP.
happen.
Yeah. Yeah, I admire your
Like,
restraint because you didn't mention Lane Thomas.
it's an issue.
Yeah, I think,
Sure. I mean,
I mean,
Lane's
in
been
it.
a very good outfielder. If Lane would have been in this outfield, and again, we don't know that it would have worked for him here, but
Right.
he's clearly capable of it, and the Cardinals didn't get that out of him.
I think
And
that's.
that's the theme. They didn't get it out of this guy. They didn't get it out of that guy. The timing was wrong on that guy. The Braves wouldn't have traded for Marcell Ozuna if he had a bum shoulder, and the Cardinals did.
Yeah, well,
What's
they
going
felt they
on?
were in a bind. No, I understand fans complain about, like, all right, talent recognition, talent development, all those things. Like, the Cardinals haven't had good, I think they're okay. I mean, they obviously can identify talent because they have pollinated other rosters, so they can identify it,
Absolutely. Thanks. The
you
league
know.
is thanking the Cardinals
Yeah,
for their
thanks
ability
for
to
the help.
identify talent.
Yeah, we're very thrilled to have, you know, a couple of your pitchers here, a couple of your pitchers there, a whole outfield in the All-Star game to not wearing the Cardinals jersey. But I really think, like, that it's a question of scaling up. You know, it's this where it's not that they've made, you can't say that they've made the wrong, you could argue they've made the wrong choices, fine, and that these players would have just done it on their own, fine. I don't think it's that simple. I don't think
I don't either.
that they had a coin flip. I think it's actually the former Cardinals are going elsewhere and maximizing their game. They're spreading their wings. Why are players who stay with the Cardinals not maximizing their games? That's the question. And it's not just outfielders. It's also, you see it with some pitchers. Why has Matthew Liberatore and Zach Thompson, why aren't they maximizing their game? Jojo Romero has maximized the game. He's come in, he's done really well. There are examples where
Giovanni Gallegos before he was used more than any other
definitely
pitcher.
max definitely
Absolutely.
absolutely. And I think Ryan Helsley, the way he's being used this year, the what they've come to, he is maximizing. He's on the short list of the best closers in the game, whether that's recognized or not. But he's the first Cardinal pitcher to win the Reliever of the Month award since Ryan Franklin in 2009, and only the third of the 2000s. The other to win it was Jason Isringhausen. That's I'm just plucking that. That's trivia. But
Pretty
the
good company, though.
numbers, yeah, it's good company. And yeah, and Ryan Franklin was an all-star closer. And Helsley's headed that direction. Whether he's joined by somebody else remains to be determined at the All-Star game. But the truth is
Wilson will be there.
he's yeah, and he should be. But Ryan Helsley's on the short list of the best closers in the majors, right? So that's a scale up. That's a maximize. And choices the Cardinals made and conversations Ryan Helsley had have contributed to that scale up performance. Cool. Where is that with Jordan Walker? Where is that with Lars Nootbaar? There are signs of it, right? There are definitely signs of it. I mean, he's got a lot of ability. Started off injured and still does a lot of things well and hasn't had the best of luck, right? But where's that scale up? He could be the three hitter on this team. That's a valuable position. Against a lefty the other day against Sean Manaea, the Cardinals had Dylan Carlson batting fifth, right? And the game kept finding him. They got to have somebody else there. That's a spot where Dylan Carlson shouldn't be thrust into that spot 3 days after returning from a separated shoulder. This is not a lineup that should have that guy hitting fifth, even if they've scaled up
They
his
had Dylan
ability.
Carlson didn't clean up in a playoff game
Right.
when he was younger than this.
Even if they've scaled up. So they just haven't scaled up.
Yeah.
So true or false? The Cardinals haven't scaled up their talent.
Oh, that's true. I mean, that's
All
it's
right.
true
I just am trying to
with
keep
the
on the
evidence
theme.
on this team, and it's true with the evidence of what others have done.
On other
You know,
teams. Yeah.
we talked about. Remember when Matt Carpenter made his first trip back to Busch, and we were talking? It was kind of like the first time that like Ollie kind of got into the how frustrating it was that they couldn't fix him with the
Yeah.
Cardinals before, and he had to leave. And he talked about like the most frustrating thing for him as a manager is like knowing that there was something to be unlocked in a player and he couldn't get to it, like the staff couldn't get to it, and that the guy had to leave to find it. And that is, I can understand how that is frustrating. Especially if it's like it wasn't an opportunity thing, it wasn't a blocked thing. Like they had something they couldn't figure out and they go somewhere and figure it out. That's happening a lot. And it used to be something that never happened. And I
Yeah.
think there's two things. A, it's going to happen because baseball has other smart teams and other opportunities for guys that not every team is built the same with in terms of the depth and the way the competitions. Not every team is built in the way that it wants to contend all the time and try to win, and there's not that constant pressure for some teams. I mean, that's probably part of the reason Lane has had success in Washington. They've been able to be very patient.
Yeah, because,
And
yeah, that's right. Opportunity
he's rewarded their patience.
and willingness to lose. Yeah.
So it's I do think it's I think I try really not to be act like it is. Sometimes the venue change, the messaging change, the literal change of scenery helps. And if you don't think that's true, look at real life, because there's examples of that in real life everywhere. Someone goes to a different company and becomes a better employee because they like their, they like their environment better, or they're happier, and they're like this is still people.
Yeah,
But
there's
when you have
examples of that with the Cardinals.
good companies though examine that, and
Right.
good companies look at why are we losing, why are we not getting the best production. And that to me is one of the biggest things that the Cardinals have to figure out at a grand scale. And is it a culture issue? Is it a simply a development issue? Is it a messaging issue to these? Is it a cutting off the nose to spite the face problem with rushing guys, or just throwing them into the fire too quickly? And then pulling them out too quickly. And then, there's a real pressure on everyone in this organization to erase last year, to get back on track. And I think sometimes it leads to kind of herky jerky decisions. I think this year and last year, both, we've seen examples of it. Tyler O'Neill's a center fielder till he's not. This guy's a reliever. This guy's a starter. Roles matter. And then all of a sudden they're flipped. You're going to prioritize center field defense with Victor Scott and Siani, and all of a sudden now it's Nuke Barr back in center after they said they didn't want to do that. I mean, the example, Contreras is a catcher. Now he's not. I mean, those types of pivots cause stress to production. And I do wonder, as the Cardinals get further and further from deep postseason success that they're so pushed to get to, if it causes downriver concerns. But that's not an excuse. You got to figure out how to develop despite that. And for years the Cardinals did. And that's something's happened. And they can't deny that. It's proven in the guys that you look around saying they had the talent, but they figured it out better somewhere else.
Even in this conversation, I'm thinking back to this past week, right? And the Cardinals faced former Cardinal Jack Flaherty, former Cardinal Carson Kelly, St. Louis native Matt Vierling, who had not been a Cardinal, so maybe not, definitely not in this conversation, but he had a big part in that Detroit game. Tommy Pham, Paul DeYoung, John Brebbia. Paul DeYoung had a couple doubles in a game. John Brebbia had the key strikeouts with the bases loaded in a game. And
Tommy Pham
that,
broke the series.
right, Tommy Pham broke the great point. Yeah, Tommy Pham broke the series. So all three contributed in those ways. In come the Mets, and Harrison Bader's on this team, playing center field. He was a mid-game replacement, had a double. But then was part of a replay thrown out on the bases. Over and over and over again in these, just in this week snapshot, it's former Cardinals. And I don't, well, here, true, false, Ben, you would take any of those players back on the Cardinals?
Let's see here. Of the
Brebbia was
guys
the one they
that they've
tried to
played
sign.
recently,
No, yeah, just of this
yeah,
past, this snapshot.
Brebbia could help this bullpen. I think Tommy Pham could have helped this team,
Okay, so those are a couple
especially with
guys that
what
you
we're
would
seeing in
take.
the outfield right now. I mean, he
Yeah.
showed up at spring training and wanted a job and got no bites.
But yeah. But for
His,
the most part.
but no, that and I think they were right this offseason to churn a lot of those guys away because there had been seasons of their chance to grab production and grab spots of importance on this team. And a lot of the guys hadn't done it. It wasn't for lack of opportunity.
Right.
And
No,
where you
no.
really feel burned is when it was for lack of opportunity, right?
Right. Yeah. That's when it stands out. And so I think the conversation is turning, and maybe in the direction it should have turned all along. And along the way, we talk about opportunity, but the conversation is turning not from why didn't they keep the guys who go and perform elsewhere, to why aren't they getting more from the guys they kept? Why? No, don't envy the Zach Gallen that Arizona got. Wonder why the Cardinals didn't get Dakota Hudson better. Why didn't they get the
Sure.
best of Dakota Hudson? Don't ruminate over the Cy Young Award that Sandy Alcantara won. Wonder why Jack Flaherty, and maybe the answer is injury, but maybe wonder why Jack Flaherty never had that consistency of 2019 again. Why
Sure.
that
Or
was so difficult to get back to.
Jordan
Don't,
Hicks, right?
right, or Jordan Hicks. Yeah,
Like,
right.
should they have committed to what the Giants are trying with him?
Right. Should they have done that earlier? You had the great story in spring training that they were going to do it on the job. And, that's a huge difference. The Cardinals can go, well, we gave him the opportunity to start. Well, no, you didn't. You didn't. You gave him the opportunity to become a starter in the major leagues in real time. The Giants said, take the whole offseason, come to spring training, build up. Start the season ready to start, not start the season trying to become a starter. That's a huge difference. So that's the thing. Like maybe that's where the conversation goes, is this question of why haven't they gotten more from the guys they kept? Not did they make the wrong choices on who they kept, because if in some multiverse the other choices were made, right? And they kept Randy Arozarena and Harrison Bader is with the Tampa Bay Rays. Maybe it's Harrison Bader who's the
Sure.
sensation in Tampa Bay, because the track record here isn't that they made the wrong choices on who to keep. The track record is that they haven't got the most from the folks that they did.
100% accurate. And that's all you can control too, because once somebody is gone, then you have no say in their in what they do or don't do. And that really is kind of gets back to controlling what you can control. There was a reason that those players were parted ways with. Oftentimes it was because the Cardinals thought they had something that could turn into something better in hand,
It hasn't.
and hasn't.
Yeah.
And that's very, very good point. And it's critical to this team right now,
Yeah.
because if they're going to have any chance, they're going to have to get some of these young guys to take a leap on the
Yeah.
job.
Yeah.
So talking about it by being hard on the job, on the job. Nolan Arenado might start hitting some homers, and Paul Goldschmidt may do that 2022 thing where he gets white hot. It's probably more realistic that both are going to find some power, but maybe not be close to what they have been at their careers. And what's going to close that gap, if not the Nolan Gormans, the Lars Nootbaars, the Brendan Donovans, the Jordan Walkers, those guys, picking up the slack and taking it to beyond. And if they don't, then this team's not one that is going anywhere.
Right.
It's pretty simple.
All right, let's race through your final three statements here of your column, which you can find in the pages of the Post-Dispatch and online at stltoday.com. Statement, is this true or false? Paul Goldschmidt looks like he's coming around.
False at the moment, unfortunately, he did. And that final game of April was like, okay, here comes the Goldschmidt May bloom, and it hasn't happened. He looked pretty rough in that White Sox series. His timing doesn't look good, and his approach looks pretty un-Goldschmidt like when he's locked in.
Statement, Nolan Arenado looks like he's coming around. True or false?
I think that's true. You can see that in some of the balls that he's hitting the other way. You see that in just the timing looking a little bit better. And then the advanced metrics, like what he's doing kind of on a rolling basis, you're starting to see some improvements there. He's had a couple home runs, had a couple doubles. He looks closer to me than Goldie.
Mike Shannon once told me that every generation of Cardinal has a Hall of Famer, every generation of Cardinal has a championship, and he's right. Every generation of Cardinal fan has at least one Hall of Famer that they can cling to, and just because of the timing of the championships, and we'll see what they do with this next one because we're entering that second decade of it, but every generation, which is roughly 20 years, has its own championship team to kind of celebrate and to become enchanted by. It's become every generation has its Jeff that leaves and they create a legend about. Your parents will talk about Jeff Luhnow. You will talk about Jeff Albert. Every generation has a Jeff. I think it should be
Every
Jeff
generation
Suban.
has an Albert.
Yeah, don't know, but it was le well, yeah, I guess so. No, a legend. I mean, like Albert has like earned the legend, right? I mean, like, holy goodness, what a finish. But also, like, what an 11 years there. I don't think anyone's going, like, they're not, you don't have to retrofit a legend onto Pujols. It's there. It's gonna be on a plaque. It's gonna hang, but the legends of Jeffs is something, because when they were around, they weren't appreciated for all they did. And then they leave and they're given credit for more than they did. It's a remarkable thing. But your statement, Cardinals must regret losing former hitting coach Jeff Albert, the current generation's Jeff, the pining for Jeff. True or
False
false?
exclamation point. False. I have a hard time. I should probably shouldn't have put that in there, but I am increasingly annoyed
I
at
love
this.
how we're editing your column. This is
Well, I
less of
feel
a
it was
podcast
probably a
and
little
more of a
like I feel
writing
like
lab. Sorry.
it was probably like a little too snarky, but
I
I
didn't
was
mean
kind
for
of
that
feeling
to
snarky.
happen.
It's okay. I mean, I'll defend it.
I didn't mean to yellow pad you here.
I'm tired of this revisionist history about the Jeff Albert era
Just
of
about
lineup
Jeff's.
instruction.
I'm just
There's
tired about
this
the
like thing
revisionist
going around
history
the
of Jeff's.
Cardinals offense sucks right now, so they clearly wrong for running off Jeff Albert. Well, hold on a second. Let's pump the brakes on that. If you actually, first of all, they didn't run off Jeff Albert. Jeff Albert left. The Cardinals wanted to extend Jeff Albert, and he, according to John Mozeliak, which probably, I mean, I don't know if Jeff would agree with this, but John Mozeliak basically told everybody he didn't like the social media criticism. That was really the explanation that was given. He wasn't fired. He wasn't pink slipped. He left for a job he wanted more. Second of all, if you actually look at the numbers compared to, so he's the hitting coordinator of the Mets, which is not the same as the hitting coach. So, but if you believe that his philosophy, his fingerprints are all over the Mets when he started there in 2022, and you actually look at the numbers, basically it's a carbon copy print of what the Cardinals are in terms of production since they left, including this rotten year. So how can people say, well, clearly they regret they screwed up by letting Albert walk away, and fans never should have been tough on Jeff Albert. I don't know. Has there ever been a Cardinals fan base that's not tough on a hitting coach?
No.
That's not exactly something that happens here. So it kind of comes with the job, and you either are okay with it or you're not. But second of all, if the Mets were leading the league in offense or even doing something remotely better than what the Cardinals are doing, including this awful year where they're last in the majors in home runs, I would say, yeah, there's maybe a case to be argued there. This is like this is like when people say, oh my God, the Cardinals have let so many great players get away. Then they start extending the list to people who have no business being on it. And it's like, okay, that's clearly a reach. I don't know that they really miss that guy that much. The problem with this offense, in my opinion, is it's probably overthinking things, overanalyzing things, and that was kind of the hallmark of the complaints about the Jeff Albert era. But I'm a little surly because the Mets were in town, and there's a crossover there, just about this like just retroactive Jeff Albert obsession. I don't understand it. And I really I just wanted to kind of point it out that if you actually look at the numbers, the Mets aren't really doing anything to throw parades about either.
All right, so what are we went through the true falses. We went on a long tangent about how the Cardinals don't scale up their hitters, don't scale up their players, and have really struggled with that. So what are solutions? What are some solutions? What would you, as the Cardinals, close out this homestand and then head to Milwaukee with a suddenly pivotal May series in Milwaukee? What's a solution? What's a real tangible, substantive solution that they can do, and then give me a frivolous Ben Fredrickson solution.
I don't have any other ones, but the ones I would actually do. I would call in the ice cream truck. They haven't had it since the spring training 2 years ago. I would plant it on the field, and I would remind everybody they're playing baseball and not coding nuclear missile strikes. I would lock the doors to the film room and just tell guys to go play baseball. I would let everybody take a round of batting practice with metal bats so they could feel the joy of seeing the ball go over the wall. I would try to do something to just diffuse this power freeze that is going on and call it Joe Madden-ish, but God damn it, sometimes Joe Madden stuff works. Back before he became persona non grata with the Cubs, he would do some goofy things that would work. And sometimes when you've got a group that should be better than what it is, they just kind of need to be reminded that they're better than what they're doing. And I think there's some of that going on right now with this team. And maybe it's just showing them, sometimes hitters, players, when they struggle, it just helps them to watch highlight reels of themselves doing great things. Like maybe I would just put together a highlight reel of Nolan Arenado and Paul Goldschmidt and Lars Nootbaar and Nolan Gorman crushing baseballs and just play it on a loop. Like you, because what else? I mean, are you gonna Paul Goldschmidt's not gonna relearn how to hit a baseball,
That
man.
would
Like
be that would
it
be
is what it is at
fascinating,
this
right?
point.
Like if Turner Ward said, "Okay, guys, we're going to go over the scouting report here. Here's, we're going to send everybody some video of this pitcher. Why don't you look at
Yes.
it?" And all of a sudden they click on it and it's just video of them
Yes, just
crushing.
crushing it
Just crushing.
because
No, I
that's your
love
hope right now,
it.
is guys become themselves. Because right now, that's you can't say last year that, well, these pitchers need to become themselves. No, they weren't good enough. These hitters should be good enough. And if they're not, then there's nothing that can be done. If this team doesn't hit home runs and doesn't hit for power, it's over. It's as simple as that. And I know that's not fun to say because we can't just keep saying the same thing over and over again over the course of the 162 game season, but that's the truth, and it's not going to change.
Right. No. All right. Here's what I would do. According to our colleague, Ian Frobe, and his STL 100, which is a review of the top 100 reviews, there is a place, and actually, this is a place I love to go. I'm not saying endorsements. It's just a place that I really do
Well,
go.
we're open to endorsements if they're interested. Just throwing
Well,
that out
I'm
there.
not permitted.
Oh.
But I can speak honestly because this is a place that I genuinely go and have taken my son there many times. It's over in the Grove. And Big Willie's meatball sandwich at the
Boom.
gramophone. Just, I say the gramophone, Cardinals, get the gramophone on the phone. Get the gramophone on the phone. That, okay. Get the
Like that.
gramophone on the DoorDash and get up some of those meatball sandwiches. Just meatball, you know, or they don't even have to get the gram. Just make a bunch of meat, just a plate of meatballs, right?
A meatball buffet.
Just bring out the meatball buffet. Have turkey meatballs, you know, Italian meatball, all the meatballs. Bring all the meatballs. And then get some gramophone meatball. Or maybe just have the gramophone take the meatball sandwiches to the press box, right? We could have some meatball sandwiches. Let the
Think that would be
players have the
fair. It's our
meatballs.
idea.
Yeah. All right. Just get some meatballs in there and say, all right, guys, crush meatballs. Crush them.
Love it. That's way better than the ice cream truck.
You know?
Yeah, but can you, is there, can, does the gramophone have a food truck where it could use, they could use it as like the bullpen cart, but not take it to the bullpen, to take it to the clubhouse?
That'd be pretty good. That'd be pretty good. That is St. Louis Post-Dispatch sports columnist Ben Fredrickson. You can find all of his work in the pages of the Post-Dispatch and at stltoday.com. That is also the place where he hosts Inside Pitch with our college colleague. Our college, I got college on the brain, man. I don't
You
know what
did go to
that
the
is.
same college as us.
He did go to the same college as us. I just colleges. I'm consuming
I'm
everything.
hungry now.
I'm gonna get back to my college stress. The Bernie Miklas wanted my son to announce his college choice on his show, and I realized, man, like he's just trying to take from BPIB, right? Just, you know, the
Oh,
young
man.
man who once gave movie reviews on our radio show, who once did movie reviews briefly for the best podcast in baseball. Now he's you know, now he's a man. He's an adult and he's about to go off to
As his
college.
name, image, and likeness agent, I would encourage him to do it on his own social media platform and direct all the media outlets to there.
Well, he does take your advice to heart. So,
Oh, he did. If he took my advice, he'd be going to Mizzou.
well, it doesn't look like that's the case. Yeah. He's going Hollywood. That which is fine. That's his dream, which is great, which is awesome. I want him to follow his dream. But you can follow Ben Fredrickson at Inside Pitch and all the work he does at STLtoday. Yeah. At STLtoday.com. That's also where you can find all of the Constant Cardinals coverage, including the best podcast in baseball. Best podcast in baseball is brought to you by Closet by Design of St. Louis. It's brought to you weekly. And I'm catching up here because of a podcast that fell through last week, but brought to you weekly at STLtoday.com and wherever you get your podcasts. Spotify, it's there on Spotify, it's there on iTunes. You can rate and review the podcast, and it's a good place to subscribe to the podcast. Subscriptions make sponsorships possible. And sponsorships make the podcast possible, and the podcast makes conversations like this one with Ben Fredrickson possible. Ben, thank you very much for writing the column that then we got to pick apart in this episode. I thought it was really good, and it gave us kind of a backbone for a larger conversation. Did not expect it to go that way. I owe you a meatball sub, and you know what? Because I know the importance of it, I'm gonna scale it up and get you an extra meatball.
Oh, that's beautiful. Now that's taking talent and maximizing it.
Well, I
And
know.
what a fitting point to. I'll bring the Tums.
Very, very
We'll need them
good.
for the meal and then also the game, perhaps.
That we should get a sponsorship with Tums too, with the way things are going. Thank you,
Right,
Ben.
man. See you soon.
This is the story of the one. As a maintenance engineer, he hears things differently. To the untrained ear, everything on his shop floor might sound fine, but he can hear gears grinding or a belt slipping. So he steps in to fix the problem at hand before it gets out of hand. And he knows Granger's got the right product he needs to get the job done, which is music to his ears. Call, click Granger.com, or just stop by. Granger, for the ones who get it done.